Get Up with Ned and Josh on Hit 104.7. Got to put my hands
up in the air. Josh, last week I was quite sick during the week, but then somehow miraculously by the end of the week, I kind of came good. Actually, no, it was the week before that. Sorry, the week before that I was a little bit sick, and then by the end of the week I kind of got myself back on track. I went home and I came back and I was fine, but I came back to find that you were sick.
Yep.
And I can't help but think that I somehow contributed to that because we're in a very small studio for 3 hours a day. We also hang out quite a bit. So if I'm sick, chances are if you got sick, I'd play a little bit of a role in that.
Possibly, or possibly. There are a few contenders at the moment. There was a young lady who we work with who got very sick, but look, I initially labelled her patient X and said that she got everyone in the building sick, but everyone in the building has been different sick to how she was sick.
So some people are different sick to other people.
I'd like to publicly offer an apology to patient X and say, I don't believe you made everyone sick anymore.
Exactly.
But I've also got the contender of my dad is real sick the way I was, and he was here last weekend.
So you think he got you sick?
The third, and now I'm saying leading contender, is a, I'm going to say, three-year-old girl who came up to me at the High Five-a-thon on Friday and coughed directly into her hand and then high-fived.
Yeah.
I think I got sick off her. So,
but I feel like I certainly didn't help it because essentially we're in an environment here. Like in this room, we're in an environment.
If you were sick, I mean, look, you were sick, but it was... I don't want to blame you because then I feel like we're in a bad spot where like anytime you're sick, I just won't want to be near you.
Well, it's just, well, you have to be. It's your job, unfortunately.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. But we could, literally, you don't understand how the tech works. We could do this show in different rooms.
Yeah, I could go into the other studio and just sit in there.
Yeah, just have the microphone in there.
It'd be fine. We could absolutely do that.
But maybe we
should. I got sick, then you got sick. Now I'm sick again. And
so you're sick again?
I'm sick. I'm very sick again. And I'm kind of the sick that you were sick. And the reason that I was handing you the on a platter, essentially, going like, I feel like kind of the reason that you're sick is because I was sick. Now I'm wholesalely blaming you for the reason I'm sick.
So I initially didn't want to blame you. Yeah. You know what?
That's why I said I feel somewhat to blame. But now that I've said that and now that I've got that out of my system, I'm laying it on the table that I wholesalely blame you for being sick.
Well, if you wholesalely blame me, well, then I wholesalely blame you.
Okay. Well, I don't buy that because you've already given three options, so you've already excused me.
One of them kind of did forget that I sit in a room with you all the time. So you're four. You're the fourth option.
Exactly. You are openly just coughing around. You refuse to cover your mouth, even though I call you out on it quite openly. I think this is very, very, very dangerous for you and I because so far it's been me, now. We share the studio for 3 hours in the morning. I'm scared that for the rest of our lives, it's going to be me, now. Next, you're going to get sick and I'll get a bit better. Then I'll get back to sick. Then I'll make you sick. Then you'll make me sick until we're like 80 and we've had like a 50-year-old cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of us just dies.
And one of those dies from a very common cold.
What needs to happen? Does one of us need to go on like a holiday? Because I vote
yes.
That be me.
No, I voted for me, mate, because I'm sick. And no, so you're fine.
So you'll go, like the movie Contagion, you'll get in a plane sick and you'll spread your illness around the whole world.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm better now, so I could go literally on a plane now to Tahiti.
No. I don't buy into this at all because I am sick. Well, it's not fair for me to stay in the building. Like, I'll make other people sick. I need to be sent away.
I really like your logic here. Yeah. And by that, I'm being sarcastic, of course, because it's like, have you ever heard of the word quarantine? Jeez, Ned's got this really weird disease we've never heard of before.
Send him away.
Send everyone else away and let Ned just continue to live in the city. Let's send everyone in Canberra away and let Ned have a city all to himself.
I'll have a wonderful time.
We will put you in a tent somewhere and you will be quarantined.
I'll be bubble boy.
Yeah, that's what will happen. You don't understand how that works at all.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer, mej.com.au.
And we are taking your calls on 131060 about people who are maybe not as big of a fan as when you go for a walk with your dog and strangers come up and want to talk to you about the dog, have a million questions, want to play with the dog. People who are not a fan of that, because I see a lot of people in my day-to-day life who, when they go up, the dog's the ultimate icebreaker. Mm. They just want to talk about, oh, I've got the same kind of dog. Like, how old's your dog? Is she eating? shedding everything. My dog used to tear the backyard apart.
Yeah.
It's usually something that dog owners are more than happy to talk about.
Exactly.
Their dog.
Yeah.
But I saw on the weekend, a little kid was playing with a French bulldog in my apartment, near my apartment building, and the owner literally said to the kid, please stay away from my dog.
And that's the thing, because this guy lives, assumedly lives with this dog and knows a lot about this dog, maybe he knows things that this kid doesn't know, like maybe the dog's a little bit sore.
Mm.
Maybe he just doesn't like people. Like maybe he's like, no, he's my dog.
Well, that's the thing. And maybe, because this is, I did actually have this thought, because I had a bunch of thoughts when I walked away about why the person wouldn't want.
Yeah.
As we said, French bulldog, so small. It's not probably going to be a risk to the kid. So he's not trying to protect the kid from the dog. I think this is what I actually thought. Like, he didn't want the dog to smell like other people.
Right.
So, like, when he's back at home with the dog, because you know how dogs kind of smell like your house?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what dogs end up smelling like. He's like, I don't want him to smell like other people.
Nah.
Stay away from my dog.
Exactly. I want my house to smell this exact same way.
That's what I thought might have been one of the reasons. Mm. I'd love to understand. That's why this is now a judgment-free zone. 131060, are you a dog owner that does not like people coming up to your dog? You do not like talking about your dog to strangers? You don't like strangers wanting to like, oh, how's it going, buddy? Like, get on the phone right now. 131060, I'd love to understand the logic a little bit. We've got Nick on the line from Page. Nick, do you not like people playing with your dog?
No, not really.
Okay, so what kind of dog do you have before we get into the?
I got three.
Okay, all right, and what are they?
I got two Great Danes and a pit bull.
All right, okay, and so what is the reasoning behind your lack of interest in strangers playing with these dogs, Nick?
It's not really the strangers that's my problem. It's the dogs between themselves get jealous because they have to.
Right.
Strangers just want to pet one, just like, oh, I don't really like the look of that one. Just want to like.
Right.
The others will be like, oh, what's wrong with me? And they'll get a bit aggressive towards the other dog.
Yeah. So it actually creates a bit of competition between all the gang. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because when we're at home, I mean, they're fighting for attention 24/7. One will want to sit on the couch and one doesn't want to sit on the floor when one's on the couch. Like, it's...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I hadn't even thought of that. But, yeah, you're 100% right. And you could also kind of go, if you're taking them all out at once, Nick, you could kind of just go, well, I'm not running a petting zoo. Like, this is not...
I got my hands full.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I literally just did the math then. Two Great Danes and a pit bull. You have your hands full.
Yeah, well done, mate.
There are two dogs the size of Shetland ponies there. 131060 is the number to call. We've got Hunter on the line from Wanniassa. How are you this morning?
I'm good, man. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, mate. Do you like people patting your dog?
Mate, I love people touching my dog. It's just the only thing we need to clear up is that some people intend to grab your dog from behind or just come up and scare the dog.
Yeah, right.
See, that's the only trouble. If you go up and put your hand backwards when the dog comes to you, that's a different thing. The dog's acknowledged you instead of you.
Well, I literally did that on the weekend where I went to go pat a dog and it kind of like, it didn't cower, but it was kind of like, oh, you're a lot bigger than I am. Mm. And so I just held my hand down, sniffed it, licked it, and then it was fine. It was great. It came up and like was like resting on my leg.
Yeah, right.
Honestly,
exactly. That's the only issue that needs to be clear, that some people can't just like go up and grab people's dog because you might hear it and it might snap.
Yeah, that's true. Because then the scariest thing about owning a dog and having people like is that it's on you as the owner then, isn't it? If something actually happens and the dog bites someone, that becomes your responsibility.
Exactly.
If you're at a cafe and there's kids around and the kid grabs it from behind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kids. I mean, I love people touching my dog, and I love my dog. It's a top end, massive cross Great Dane too.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
You've got a Shetland pony as well. Yeah. I think, and that's the thing, little kids love the tail as well, and that dogs don't like people grabbing their tails.
My cousins always used to try and ride my dog like a horse, and I'm like, please don't, because I could see him. He was just like, oh, I don't.
Why is this my life?
This doesn't work. I'm too small.
I'm not strong
enough.
My spine isn't
built for this.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine. This show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
And Ned, last night, you live in Franklin.
Yeah.
Power outage.
There was a power outage last night. And I thought I hadn't paid my bill or something, but I like walked outside and everyone's lights were off.
There was also one in Canberra as well. Just took a look at the old website that said the outages. So I thought I'd mention that just because I wanted people in Canberra to know. I saw that on the website as well.
Don't feel like you're being forgotten if you're out in Canberra.
Look, but you, we were playing PlayStation and literally you just dropped off. I was like, where did Ned go? Like,
I just had enough.
We were playing it online. Yeah. I was like, well, where did Ned even go? And then I sent, just got a text from you just saying my power's gone out.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, okay. And What are you going to do about that? And then I didn't really hear from you for a while. Can I just get you, I know what happened, but can I get you to explain to everybody, just in a nutshell.
Play by play?
Yeah, because it was dinner time. What did you end up having for dinner?
Just a bread roll. Well, not even that. It's a slice of bread, actually. It was just I had four slices of bread. Because I couldn't toast it. Everything else I had in my house needed to be heated up. I had some soup, but I couldn't eat. Like, it was, you need to actually heat up the soup.
This is what I'm talking about. It's hilarious. They restored the power in like 40 minutes. It was actually really, really good because like the outage was expected to go till like 10 p.m. and they got it done real quick.
It was like, just before 8.
But for that 40 minutes, like from the way you recounted it to me this morning, your life fell apart. Like, you started living like it was 1810 again.
Well, I was so bored. I don't have any candles. I don't have any board games. I don't have any books, really. I've got some comic books, but I was kind of just sitting in my house going, what do you do? Like, the power hasn't gone out like while I've been living by myself ever. Like, I've never had to occupy myself. And so what I did, I saw it on like a life hack thing once where you get your phone and you turn the light on, like the flashlight on, and then you sit a water bottle on top and it like lights up the room. But it didn't really do that. It just lit up the ceiling.
What you were going to say, I saw a life hack once. It said, eat four slices of bread.
Yeah. And some of the bread's moldy. So I was trying to figure out what parts of the moldy one. It's like 3 days out of date.
Didn't we do a whole talk about why you're sick again this morning?
Yeah, but I was sick before then.
Yeah, okay, sure.
I feel better. The mold's helped me.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
And Ned, this morning, taking calls on 131060 about when your kid has broken something pretty expensive.
A kid in Kansas went to a museum, went to hug a sculpture in a museum, knocked it over, cost his parents, potentially, the museum's asking for $132,000.
Jess is on the line from Tuggeranong. Jess, have you had a situation where a kid in your purview has broken something expensive?
It wasn't one of my kids. It was actually my brother. When we were little, our old parents got our whole house, all our windows redone, double glazing.
Yeah.
Cost like $40,000. And then my brother was throwing rocks at birds on the roof, and he missed the roof and got the dining room window and the whole side of that, like the whole dining room wall was glass, and it just all shattered.
Oh my God. Yeah, I just got what you meant. So there's literally like basically one of those massive view windows.
Yeah.
No.
Jess, my question to you, because I feel like this is very important. How did anyone find out? Did your brother come and say, like, hey, it was me, or did, like, what happened?
Oh, we heard, like, you heard it. We heard it smash and, like went everywhere. And then we all went running to the dining room, and he was, like, freaking out. And because we were, like, arch enemies when I was little, I was, like, laughing because I thought it was so great because I knew how much trouble he was
going to get. Yeah, of course.
Because he just broken the most expensive windows ever.
Mm. The funniest thing is, this is why I'm not ready to be a parent, because my response as an adult right now who pays bills and all that sort of stuff, if I'd spent $40,000 on something, I'd just say to your brother, I'm like, we'll leave. You need to leave now.
Yeah.
You can't live in this house anymore.
Whereas, see, as I'm very, like, crafty and stuff, I just, like, duct tape it up and be like, no one go through the open hole in the house. Yeah. We're just going to put up some tarp. It'll be fine.
You're also apparently loaded.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be upset about 40 grand. I'd be so mad. We've got Josh on the line from Queanbeyan. Josh, did you used to break stuff when you were a kid?
I did. Me and my brother were identical twins.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on my dad's mate's farm, and he had two trucks and three cars and motorbikes. And me and my brother were thinking we were helping at poking holes with screwdrivers in the radiators and all the cars and the motorbikes.
Did you actually think you were helping, Josh?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It was easily over 100 grand of, you know.
Oh, mate. You wouldn't be living in the house anymore.
Did you try and blame it on your brother, Josh? Were you like, it was all my brother?
No, I was just quiet. Just stood there. Like, just take it.
Yeah.
Sometimes as a kid, you don't even know why you've done stuff. Like, I used to break things at home. Like, my parents tell a story. They went, like, down to JB Hi-Fi, got themselves a brand new, literally a hi-fi system back when JB Hi-Fi did hi-fi systems.
Yeah.
And I put a peanut butter and jam toast slice into the CD tray.
Like,
and
pre-jammed
then,
and pre-buttered.
Yep, all of that, and put it into the CD tray and then just push the eject button into the hi-fi machine it went.
See, that's not even how you make toast. Like, Like, there's no response. There's no reason for that at all.
I discovered it is how you make your dad question whether he loves you or not anymore.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Ned, you and I, for the last week, Monday to Monday, have been keeping a food diary, or so I thought.
Yep.
You've just told me now that your food diary has not been kept, in fact.
It's not existed at all.
I've done it.
Mine. I'm saying mine. So last Friday, not the Friday that's just gone, not 3 days ago, the week before then, I said, hey, it'd be really funny if we kept a food diary and then we could like compare them next week and like we'll put it on the show and stuff like that. That was a lie. I've not kept a food diary because this isn't about me. This is about you. So why don't you run us through a little bit of your food diary, because I want to see if people of Canberra can pick up a pattern that I have been observing for probably 7 years now.
Okay. Well,
Monday. Let's go Monday. What'd you have for lunch on Monday?
Takeaway.
Okay. And dinner on Monday?
Takeaway.
We'll skip through to, let's go Wednesday. Wednesday lunchtime. What'd you have?
I actually had nothing for lunch on Wednesday.
Dinner?
Lots of takeaway.
Okay, cool. Let's just go, we'll go to Thursday. Dinner? Mm-hmm.
Takeaway.
Okay. Friday? Just, no, before you put it away, Friday lunch?
Friday lunch was a work lunch. So I had, but it was like a schnitzel. So.
Great. And just real quickly to wrap it all off, Sunday dinner?
Takeaway.
Great. Okay. I mean, I feel like you would have to be someone that doesn't understand the English language to not pick up the trend that was going on there. There's a little bit of a trend happening between there. And it is that you eat a lot of takeaway, my friend. A dangerous amount of takeaway. As a matter of fact, do you remember the last time that you actually ate a salad?
Like, I don't eat salad. I hate salad. So no, I don't.
But like veggies then?
No, I don't remember the last time I consumed a vegetable.
Okay. There wasn't a potato.
Well, yeah, that's technically true. And tomato.
Yeah. So you have tomato sauce and chips. They do not count. I'm talking about like cauliflower or broccoli or anything.
It's funny.
That.
It's actually, you know what, without getting too deep, it actually was startling because I did this and over the course of the week, I had takeaway.
Yeah, how many times all up?
I had takeaway 19 times over the course of the week. Yeah, if we're talking separate meals.
Did you start from, like, so not from 3 days ago, but from the Friday before then?
Friday till today weekend? Yeah, so it's basically, it's been 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 19 times. That means you almost had takeaway twice a day.
Dude, I'm actually, like, once again, not getting too deep, but it actually is a bit of a problem for me at the moment because I've worked out, you know how people say they emotionally eat?
Yeah.
I think I actually am kind of doing that, but in a weird way, whereas I'm more using it as, like, a reward. So if I've had, like, a long day or something like that, I'll look forward to having takeaway.
Yeah.
And so I actually put it in my head, like, I'm going to watch an episode of this while I eat this, and I'll start to, like, fantasize about it. And then I go and do it, and I'm like, I probably should be actually taking... I shouldn't be associating food with a reward, or I shouldn't be associating food with the same feeling of kicking off your shoes at the end of the day. Because that's what I'm doing at the moment. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to have this horrendously calorie heavy meal as a way to be like, cool, I'm chilling out for today.
Exactly. And you said that you're worried on a health level. I'm also, pull back the curtains, worried on a health level because you've eaten takeaway a lot, my friend. Not just in the last week, since I've known you. Since for 7 years, you eat takeaway quite a bit.
Mm.
And so this is the week that I've decided to put the foot down and I'm going to launch something that I'm calling the food police.
Okay. All right then.
This is an original. God. This is an original song that I've recorded over the weekend.
Okay.
It's not been used for any other cop show or movie. I am the food police, and I am going to make sure for the rest of the week, at least, it's probably going to go on further than that, but for the rest of the week, I'm going to make sure that you don't eat takeaway once.
The funniest thing about this is I weighed myself this morning.
Yeah, how much you weigh?
98 kilos.
Yeah, right. I'm going to keep you below 100. Like, much like the police with speeding, I'm going to keep you below 100.
Wow. It's funny because I actually kept the food diary thinking we were going to do a serious thing. I didn't realize you were setting this up as a goof to be like my food police.
Well, it's,
but now the funniest thing is I still have had the serious realization.
I was going to say, it's a goof, but behind all the jokes and the laughter, it's a very serious thing. That being said, I also can't keep track of you all the time. I got to go do my own stuff. As a cop, I'm the commissioner, I'm supposing. Mm. I've got to do other things. I've got other cases I've got to be ahead of. That being said, I want to deputize all of Canberra. And on 131060, if you ever see Josh at a takeaway place, please give us a call, 131060, during the next morning show, because okay. I will absolutely put you on and you can dob him out. And then I'll make him give you $100 cash.
As much as I'd like to say this is a really bad idea, because it is, this is probably for the best.
Yeah. I know. So if you see Josh anytime this week, give us a call the next morning on 131060 and dob him in.
Okay, this is probably for the best, but it's also going to be kind of difficult.
Report
to your
sheriff.
I'm confident that I have somewhat of a sugar addiction at the moment.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. You're going to have withdrawals. It's going to be horrible to be around you, but it's for the best, all right? I'm the sheriff of the food police. Everyone else is a deputy apart from you. What a great song as well. Just jam along to this. I'm going to play this nonstop in my car and drive around with it very loud.
I predict a mental breakdown by Wednesday as I actually dramatically change my diet.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Right now, we are in the middle of talking Destiny.
Destiny. The Hat of Destiny right now is a game where we have a hat in here. It has a bunch of activities. We pick an activity out each. If you have done either of the activities that Josh or I have picked out, you give us a call on 131060, and then that person who you have correctly done the activity for, that's not a sentence that makes sense at all, they get a point. The first person to 5 points gets to give the other person the Dare of Destiny.
Right now, it is 1 point all. It's
one
eye at the moment. And my activity this week, if you've done it, get on the phone, 131060. Did you clean your gutters?
Yep.
Bit of a weird time of year to be doing that, especially considering it was raining over the weekend. What was your activity?
My activity was, did you just get into a relationship? Did you just start dating someone?
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. And it's probably more of a life milestone than an activity, but it's still something that could have happened to you over the weekend.
Yes.
So very, very good. Get on the phone, 131060. Lachlan from Everett is the caller of Destiny this morning. How are you going, Lachie?
Very well.
Fantastic.
Have a good weekend, mate.
Had a very productive one, yes.
Damn it. Well, actually, okay, some could say personal growth is very productive.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Getting into a relationship could also mean
I don't think that's exactly what we're going to hear here. But anyway, enough small talk. Lockie, what did you do over the weekend?
Look, got into a beautiful relationship with my leaf blower so I could clean my gutter.
Oh, damn. Oh, how dare you, Lockie?
That was fantastically done. The showmanship behind that was absolutely great. Into a relationship with your leaf blower and cleaned your gutters.
Great. How dare you do that to
now,
me, Lachlan.
Why'd you leave it so late, mate?
Oh, come on. Good things take time.
Yeah, exactly, that's fair enough too. Honestly, they could be fresh leaves. Like, the leaves could be falling into your gutter now.
I'm also living in an apartment specifically so I don't have to do any yard work, so I don't know why I'm on your case, Lachlan. Good on you, mate. You're doing more than I am. Fantastic work there, buddy. And that is it. Okay, so how are we currently looking scores-wise?
All right, one to me, two to you, my friend.
Damn it. Destiny has spoken.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Josh, I need to issue a formal apology on the show to you, my friend.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Because just before, I was incredibly arrogant, and incredibly arrogant for the wrong reasons. I thought that Australia won on the weekend because I didn't watch the World Cup at all.
Yeah.
You correctly said that France won, and I went, oh, my God, this guy doesn't know anything about soccer. You did. They won.
Yeah.
France won, 2-1. The reason I thought that Australia won was because I was seeing on people's Instagram stories. So I was sick on Saturday. So I was seeing on people's Instagram stories, people going, oh my God, Australia.
Yeah, a lot of parties. People jumping up and down, people losing their minds.
And I assumed that was at the end of the game.
No, very much not. That's just what happens in Australia when the soccerers score a goal.
Yep.
So that was a goal.
Yeah.
All of those Instagram reactions that you saw was when they scored the goal, not when they won.
That is incredible because I assumed that a celebration of that nature would only come after we've won.
The thing is, the Socceroos, as much as like I've made fun of how much we all jump on the bandwagon, I get very excited for the Socceroos. I hope that we do well in the World Cup. But we literally take... From what I've seen, and I'm one of my best mates right into soccer, and I'm admittedly not, so I'm probably talking out of my rear here, but I think we take goals as mini victories. Like, we take them almost like we've won. Like,
well, I think if you get a point, our boss Rob was saying to us before, now that I've been proven wrong and I've already sounded like an idiot, I'm going to absolutely put...
Double down.
I'm going to put it on everyone
else.
Let's
be honest about it, though.
Exactly. Rod, our boss, said that as long as you score in these, like, preliminary couple of matches, that's good, because if you get some points on the board, very good.
Yeah.
I can't believe how much Australia celebrated, because I only assume this must be because we've won. I tell you who celebrated harder than Australia? So much so that they nearly caused a natural disaster. Mexico.
Yes.
Mexico were playing against Germany and they scored a goal and they literally celebrated so hard when they scored that goal that they caused an earthquake. There was an earthquake at the around about the same time in Mexico, like when the goal was scored, everyone jumping and yelling and stuff like that. There was like a mini tremor.
Yeah, it's not even a joke. That literally the collective. I think is it Mexico City?
It was in Mexico City. Yeah.
So the collective humanity in Mexico City jumped all at the same time to celebrate the goal. Yeah. When they landed, it caused an actual mini earthquake.
It registered on like three different scales that were going across the city.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's actually amazing.
The fact that a country, actually a city, can get so excited that they actually cause a natural disaster in the World Cup does kind of prove that it is the world game.
Mm.
That doesn't happen anywhere else for anything else.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, sure. Yeah, possibly. Maybe free rainbow paddle pops. What in the CBD of Sydney, if they announced that and it just started throwing them off roofs, people would jump up and down with glee.
Yeah, and then you think, so if there was a ticker tape parade for rainbow paddle pops,
I've just
started
to think about things that are near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to rain popcorn chicken today.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
People will be jumping up and down in celebration.
That in itself is a natural disaster. Yeah, that's true. Raining popcorn chicken, that's not good.
We can seed the cloud with chickens enough that it rains popcorn chicken. Mm-hmm. Well, first and foremost, we've hit peak scientific accomplishment.
Absolutely.
And second, that's a problem in itself.
It's the end of days.
Look, the great news here, guys, we are celebrating a goal the same way that Mexico's celebrating a goal. So we're doing the right thing. That's the good news here because we're not the biggest soccer nation, and they are very much a very big soccer nation, and we're just following their lead.
Exactly. Unfortunately for us, Mexico did win.
Oh, okay.
They won the actual game they were playing.
Look, small steps. At least we're celebrating the correct way. That's good. I'm glad about that. Shall we call it?
Yeah, let's call it.
That is the end of this morning show. Mercifully, we are going to be back tomorrow from 6 a.m., I'd hope. We'll wait and see.
You don't think we're going to come back?
Nah, look, maybe. We'll see how it goes.
Well, this is news to me that we could potentially be fired.
I tell you what else is news to you right now. Backstreet Boys Takeover coming up next to celebrate the fact that we are possibly sending people to Vegas to see the Backstreet Boys on our world-famous rooftop. If you'd like to go along, all you need to do is become a Hit VIP, and you'll have the chance to win. You can do that at hit1047.com.au. Speak to you tomorrow from 6 a.m. Canberra. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh.